This afternoon, we have the privilege of listening to two of our deacon brethren serve us. And Brother Dennis Keimer has chosen as his subject, Adult Children of God. Adult Children of God, Brother Dennis Keimer.
Thank you, Brother Irwin. Recently, I talked with a young mother of our ecclesia, and as we were talking, her young daughter came up and was wanting to go off and do something, and the mother stopped and gave her, the little child, some instructions. And as she was doing this, it was all the little girl could do to stand still. She was jumping up and down. She was ready to go. As the little girl left, I told the mother, oh, to be a child again and to have all that energy. This mother's response to me I find very interesting, and it made me to have a lot of thought and to gather the thoughts for this study. Her response was, no, I would rather be an adult and have the knowledge and appreciation for the truth. And as I thought on that, and as I started studying these scriptures, it put me in a real quandary, because some of the scriptures instruct us to be children, while others instruct us to be mature or to be men. The only conclusion that I could come up with is that we need to be the adult children of God. Now, in the psychological and sociological realms, the term adult children means an adult who has had experiences in their childhood, usually from a dysfunctional family, from an alcoholic or a drug addict or several other abnormalities that they've identified, that causes them to have emotional problems in their adult life. But that's not the definition that we want to use today. The definition that we want to use today, and keep in our mind as we go through these different points, is having the ability to have both the childlike qualities of little children and the maturity of an adult. First thing that we want to look at today would be the qualities that little children have that we would like to pattern our Christian walk after. And then we will look at the adult-like maturity that we need to apply to our Christian walk as well. And then in summary, we will give a few points of how we need to pull these both together and how it's possible to have both of these qualities in our life today. When I'm thinking of little children, one of the first things that I think about is that a little child is inquisitive. Now, anyone that's had a two-year-old in your house know that their favorite word is why. And they can ask why several times in a day. And the reason I think that they ask this is because they want to learn. They have a hunger for knowledge. And in Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 6th verse, we are given an idea here that this is something that we in our Christian walk need to follow after also. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 reads, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This hunger for knowledge, this inquisitive nature that a little child has, is something that we need to be sure that we keep in our Christian walk. This inquisitive nature is something that separates us from so many in the nominal church. To the nominal church, they say that, well, I believe this because the minister said this, or the priest said this is the way it is. I expect everyone here to question a lot of points that have been raised today and that will be raised yet in this afternoon service, because it's our nature. to be inquisitive and to ask why. Another quality that a little child has is that of energetic. Just like the little girl I mentioned earlier, they can hardly stay in one spot very long. They have to keep doing something. They are full of energy, and they need to be doing something. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, we're given the admonition that we need to have this same zeal, this same enthusiasm, and this high level of energy in our Christian walk as well. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. We shouldn't be sitting around waiting for an elder to ask us to do something or a deacon to ask us to do something. If we see that it needs to be done, we need to do it, and do it as unto the Lord with all of the energy and the zeal that we can. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20 brings out another quality in little children that I think is the one that I admire the most in a little child, and that is they are very quick to forgive. You could take two little children, if they are playing together, and they can get into a scuffle. And if the adults will stay out of it, within just a short time, the children will be back together playing again. The scuffle, the disagreement, is usually all forgotten about. And 1 Corinthians 14 and 20 instructs us to be the same way. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Whenever malice, a disagreement comes up, we are instructed in this scripture that we need to be quick to forgive. We need to give the brethren that extra little bit of the shadow of a doubt that might hang over the situation. We need to be sure to give him that extra allowance. And I admire this in little children because they don't know that you're supposed to harbor grudges. That's something that adults learn. Little children haven't learned that yet. And I think that in my own personal life, it would be much better if I could unlearn the idea of holding hard feelings or hurt feelings and be more like a little child. In reprint number 1766, Brother Russell gives us 11 characteristics of little children. I would like to read through these quickly, and then we'll come back to that, each one of them. Reprint 1766 reads, the special characteristics of a little child are simplicity of heart, meekness, truthfulness, freedom of ambition and rivalry, faith, confiding trust, love, obedience, teachableness, indifference to social distinction or popular opinion, and guilelessness. As we go back through these 11 points, some of these I will not comment a lot on, others a little more so. But the first one he lists is simplicity of heart. Shortly after Sister Grace and I was married, I had to deal with this characteristic in her. Sister Gracia, as well as little children, are very straightforward. They don't play mind games. But that was the way that I had been able to get through most of my older life, is trying to figure out what it was that people wanted me to say. Or what was it they were really trying to say? And I had to learn, and she helped me to learn, thankfully, that if you just keep it simple and you just be straightforward, it's a lot healthier for yourself and for those around you. A child is that way. If they like it, they're going to tell you they like it. If they don't, they'll tell you they don't. And that's the way that we need to be in our walk with the Lord and with each other. We need to be straightforward and let the brethren know exactly the way that we feel. The second point he brings up is meekness. And we are instructed to put on meekness in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. And it also, if we check the fruit of the Spirit, it's one of those fruits of the Spirit that's listed, showing the importance of having meekness in our life. Not needing to be out there in the front, not needing to be getting all of the credit, but sitting back, doing what you can for the Lord, and doing it for His honor. Thirdly, he lists truthfulness. We are instructed in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, to speak the truth in love. And this goes back to the first point that we talked about from this reprint article, and that's straightforwardness. We can be straightforward and injure someone, or we can do it in a spirit of love. Being truthful in a spirit of love and be a blessing to that brother or that sister. So we need to watch not only what we say, but also how we say that. The fourth point that Brother Russell brings up is that of freedom of ambition and rivalry. A little child doesn't care about rivalry. They just want to play with their friends. They just want to do whatever it is they're doing at that moment. The word rivalry, and a synonym for that would be emulation. And that is one of the works of the flesh that's listed in Galatians chapter 5, verse 20. We shouldn't try to have a competitive spirit. We shouldn't try to be better than the person next door or the brother in another ecclesia or the brother that's going to give another talk. But we just need to do what we're doing and ask the Lord to have His blessing upon it. A little child's faith, which is the next point that Brother Russell brings out in this article, sometimes I think is the greatest faith that there is. His faith in his parents to supply all of his needs, whether it be food, shelter, love, security, that faith that he has in those parents is the pattern that I want to have in my life toward my Heavenly Father. To know that and have the assurance, the faith that He's going to supply my every need. No matter what it is, knowing that it's going to be there. And along with that comes the discipline that is necessary for our own good. The next thing that Brother Russell lists is confiding trust. A little child will come up and will tell you all of his secrets. He will confide everything in you. And how wonderful it is when we take everything to the Lord and confide everything in Him and tell Him all of our secrets, all of our problems, our worries, our concerns, and just leave it there and let Him take care of it. the sincere, genuine love, which is the next point that Brother Russell brings out, of a small child is hard to match. That love is so genuine that you, if a child knows you're hurting, if a child wants to show an expression of love, the hug that you get is hard to beat. And that's the way it is, our love toward our Heavenly Father. It's something that we want to give everything we have into that love. We want to put our whole heart, our mind, and our effort into loving Him. Obedience. Sometimes the characteristic of obedience in a little child needs some prodding. And sometimes our obedience to our Heavenly Father needs a little bit of encouragement also. And that discipline that we receive is what is best for us. It's part of that all things that work together for the good. It's part of the nurturing that we need so that we could grow up to be a mature person in the Lord. We are instructed in Romans chapter 6, verse 16, that whoever we lend our members to, we're the servant of that person to obey. So if we lend our efforts, our time, our energy to doing the Lord's work, we will be His servant. But if we're slowful, waste our time and our efforts, then we need to receive that discipline to get us back to doing the Lord's work. The teachableness of a little child is shown in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. A small child is very impressionable. A lot of their mannerisms, their attitudes, their personality is developed within the first 5 years of their life. And Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 tells us to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I've read this and I tried to think back to the eagerness and the hunger when I first heard of the truth and I first decided to make it my own. And I thought of how that I've let time slip by and I need to get back to dedicating my heart to that teachableness, that humble attitude of receiving instruction. The next item that Brother Russell brings up is the indifference to social distinction and popular opinion. A small child doesn't care of the color of your skin, or whether your clothes are in the latest style, or whether your hair is cut just right. Prejudice is a learned trait. It's something that we have to learn. Unfortunately, a child often learns that from their parents. But we don't have to worry about that because our Heavenly Father is without prejudice. We're not going to learn that from Him. All we need is just to pattern our life after our example and follow the footsteps of Christ. And we will not have to worry about the prejudice creeping into our life. The last item that Brother Russell lists in this article, and the last one that we're going to consider about the last quality of little children, is that of guilelessness. I wasn't sure exactly what guilelessness was, so I looked it up. And it means not crafty or deceitful. A child is not deceitful. You tell ask a small child a question, and they're going to give you a truthful answer. And it's the same way with the children of God. They're not going to be deceitful. They're not going to play the mind games or try to come up with crafty inventions to try to deceive. Next, I would like to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. As we start looking at the mature characteristics of adults, First Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. This scripture brings out three important parts about the maturity of man. A small child is liable to speak at any time, at any place, and in an inappropriate manner. But as we grow older, we learn the places that we shouldn't speak. We learn the manner in which we're supposed to speak. We're told that there's a time to keep silent, and there's a time to speak, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 7. As mature adults, we learn what these are. The scripture also tells us that there's something that isn't quite right with the understanding of a small child. But as a mature adult, we get and obtain a better understanding. As found in Proverbs, the 4th chapter, the 7th verse, "And with all thy getting, get understanding." That's the admonition that we need to obtain to grow in the Spirit and the grace of our Heavenly Father. And the last thing that I'd like to bring out in this scripture is that of the thinking skills. A small child doesn't think things through. They're after the instant gratification. They are after what happens right now. But as adults, our reasoning skills are developed. We're able to take more thoughts and bring them in together. And we're able to think a thought all the way through to the logical conclusion. And the scripture tells us to come, let us reason together. And that's what we've done today. We've gathered together to break the word of the Lord and to see if we can't reason together to come to a better understanding. The next characteristic I would like to look at is that of being steadfast or dependable. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15 gives us some insight. You see, a child is very easily distracted or confused. But as adults, we need to be steadfast and unmovable. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. "But we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." As we are steadfastly, as we study, as we spend time in prayer and supplication, and we grow into the full, mature man that God would have us be, we are no longer tossed about by the thoughts and the ideas of men. But we're like the tree that we find in Psalms chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. To prosper, to grow, and develop in God, we need to be rooted and grounded in his Spirit. The mature adult also takes responsibility, which is the next point I would like to bring out. He takes the responsibility for his obligations and for his own actions. He doesn't blame others or situations, but he admits to himself and to God that I am a sinner and I do need help. There is a lifetime of experiences that we can gather information from and that we can grow from. Life is a learning process. And in Genesis chapter 30, verse 27, we find that Laban learned from these experiences that he had. Genesis chapter 30, verse 27 reads, "And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake." We can take the experiences of life and learn from them what we need to hold on to for God to bless our lives. And in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, we find the Scripture tells us, "Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." Experience is one of those building blocks that is listed here that we need to build our Christian life upon. Another one that's listed is that of patience. And we find in James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It's James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." As patience works in us, it develops us and perfects us to the state of perfection that we are all striving for. Very quickly, I would like to give a few ideas of how we pull all these qualities that we've talked about together. How do we become that adult child? And that is, we need to nurture the childlike qualities. We need to take and make sure that they are taken care of. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 2 through 4, we find the Scripture that reads, "And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." The word "converted" here means to turn back again. So if we reread that and this way, and said, Verily I say unto you, except you turn back again, and be as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. We need to take care of those childlike qualities in our life. As far as the mature qualities, it's an ongoing process. We study, we gather together for meeting, trying to obtain the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding and patience that's needed to develop us in those attributes. Closing, I would like to read a short sentence from reprint article 1906. It's reprint number 1906. Brother Russell says, "For our growth and the development in the Christian character, God supplies all that is needful in the way of nourishment, and it is our part to make use of all the help he sends." May the Lord add his blessing.
We'd like to thank Brother Dennis Keimer for his fine thoughts, and also the research that he had as far as his subject matter is concerned, and the two nice reprint articles that he also suggested.